Thank you for downloading this podcast from The Reedy Clubby Show on Talk Radio 702 and 567 Cape Talk. For more, please go to 702.co.za or capetalk.co.za.
Your family, your community, your country, your responsibility. Be the best citizen you can be. Find the Bill of Rights on leadersa.co.za.
18 minutes past 10 o'clock. A pleasure to welcome Anno and Christelle Briet, who are joining us from the Mother City. Good morning, guys. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
It's lovely to chat to you. Anno, good morning. Anno, are you there? Okay. Christelle, I don't know where your husband is.
Funny, I can hear him.
Can you hear him? I can't. We can't hear him. Let's just try. Anno, are you with us? Okay, that's not working. Let me put Anno back on hold. Just hold on for me in the meantime, Christelle. Let's see if my producers can rescue that line. But Christelle, are you finding yourself doing more and more interviews lately? I mean, I saw your story in the City Press, and I thought, this is great for radio. Let's hear where they're coming from. Are you doing a lot of interviews?
Yeah, we've actually had like an increasing number of them coming through, about 2 or 4 in the last 3 months or so.
Mm-hmm. Does it surprise you that people, I mean, how do you interpret it? Is it that people are judgmental or they're just curious?
I think they're just mostly curious. I think a lot of people have never heard of polyamory, or if they have been thinking about being in a relationship with that kind of structure, they've never realized that there was a community of people who already do so.
Mm-hmm. Anno, are you back with us? I hope so. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you perfectly fine.
Lovely. I asked your wife earlier that you guys seem to be doing a lot of interviews. I read it in a magazine. I read it in a newspaper. What do you make of this interest in your lifestyle? Do you feel judged, or you feel people are just curious about how you live?
Personally, aside from all the faddish ones that just, you know, follow the flavor of the month, I think this is an idea whose time has come. And that many people are coming to the realization that traditional relationship models just are not working out in the long run. And that there's this growing exploration of the possibilities.
Mm-hmm. Now, the two of you are married. How long have you been married, if I may ask?
That's 8 years.
8 years, that's a long time. Did you know, Anno, that Christelle subscribes to this lifestyle, or is this something you guys discovered as you were getting to know each other in marriage?
This is something that grew out of a lot of communication between us as we got to know ourselves and each other better and explored our relationship. We realized that it is secure enough to, in theory, explore something like this, and it's been great for us so far.
Mm-hmm. And for you, Christelle, I mean, I'm fascinated how you bring about this idea in a relationship. Is it something that you've always thought, or you grew into it after marriage?
Well, right from, you know, very early on when we were dating, we were interested in sort of alternative sexual practices and things. But it was only probably about halfway through our marriage that we really started to talk about the idea of opening up. And it took a year or two for us to really sort of hash out what our feelings were about the matter and exactly what we felt comfortable with. Even at that point, we didn't actively go out and necessarily seek a partner. It sort of just eventually happened that somebody stumbled along and we had a good, you know, good enough relationship with him that things were comfortable.
And how would you describe polyamory? I mean, what is the difference between that and swinging? Is it inspired by boredom or a recognition that there are many types of love? I want to hear from both of you. Let's start with you, Anno.
Okay. What I've found in the swinging community and ethos, as it were, is that there is very much a boundary drawn by the partners saying we will not become involved emotionally. Because, you know, casual sex to them is acceptable as long as there's no emotional attachment. Whereas with polyamorous folk, the focus is on actually building a real relationship, a real romantic, attached, giving, nurturing relationship over a long period.
And for you, Christelle, how do you describe your way of life?
Well, it's simply put, it's a relationship, a romantic relationship that involves more than two people. It has a different focus from other forms of non-monogamy. Like Anna said, the swinging community tends to have a more sexual focus, whereas in polyamory, deep relationships are a focus. I often say to people, you know, in the same way that some people, you know, like having a large family in the sense that they have 10 children and grandma and grandpa and everybody lives together, we also like having a large family. But for us, we're equally comfortable adding adults to the relationship.
And how do the adults deal? I mean, it's one thing for both of you as husband and wife to both subscribe to polyamory. But Christelle, I know if you meet a lover, a partner, somebody that you get romantically involved with, are they accepting of the fact that you are married, and have they been able to place themselves in relation to the relationship that you have with each other?
Well, Anna and I have, always had the policy that we're very open and very frank about our relationship structure. We have nothing to hide. So whenever we get to know somebody that, the potential partner we have an interest in, we're always, very clear about the fact that this is our structure, this is the relationship that we have. And so at that point, if, they don't feel comfortable with the idea or whatever, then they're welcome to opt out and, we're just a friend. Quite a number of times, people have no problem with it. They're quite comfortable being in an open relationship. And that's basically how it usually happens. It's often just a case of, getting to know somebody first as friends and then gradually the relationship deepens.
And for you, Arno, I mean, if you find a partner, how do you explain Christelle's presence in your life, and how do they feel about you being a married man?
Well, look, part of the thinking behind this is that we don't see ourselves as two halves of a whole. We are two fully capable and independent team members in a very tight team. And that the other factor here is that there is not just one template for a relationship. And as soon as you start exploring, as soon as you can't say have the marriage relationship with everyone, mm-hmm. then you start exploring what does in fact bring you together with the other person, common interests. Activities you like to do together that, for instance, your spouse cannot do, say exercise or skydiving or whatever, table tennis.
What about jealousy? I mean, do you ever encounter jealousy? Either it sounds that the two of you are at peace, you know exactly what you're doing, but when you bring other people in, when you're involving other people, I mean, relationships are difficult enough, but how do you deal with tension sometimes, arguments? How do you manage that?
The question, I think, is what is jealousy and how do you handle it? Because jealousy has been painted as, the big bug-eyed green monster by Hollywood. But to us, it's a handy tool to indicate where there are problems, unhandled problems between us or inside of us that have not been addressed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Christelle, you never get jealous at all, or your boyfriends don't get jealous of your closeness to whoever you're seeing or to Anu at that time?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that. I mean, people do get jealous very often, less human than anyone else. But as Anna said, we're in monogamous and heterosexual relationships, you normally see this pattern of people seeing jealousy as some proof of love, or, that they sort of cling to their right to be jealous. In the polyamorous relationship, we feel that jealousy is something that needs to be rooted out like a weed. And if to do so, you need to do very deep self-examination to find out what are the roots of your jealousy. Are you jealous because you feel insecure, because you think perhaps another partner might be better than you? Which is, it's more an issue of you having a low self-esteem about your own self-worth. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because it's for us very much in poly relationships, we understand the fact that nobody is in this relationship because they're desperate and dateless. They're in this relationship because we choose to have a meaningful connection with another person who, shares our interests and needs. Mm. And so because of that freedom, If you're experiencing jealousy, it usually means that something that you need from the relationship is not, you know, hasn't been given to you. And then you need to sit down with your partner and say, well, you know what, lately I've been feeling that I need something. You know, and how can we as a group try and address this lacking in my, you know, in my relationship? You know, I feel lonely. I don't have enough time to go out with my partner. Okay, well, maybe we need to schedule more date nights. Or, you know, I don't like sleeping alone. Okay, well, maybe we need to take turns sleeping, you know, in this, you know, in each of the beds so that nobody gets, you know, left alone for too long, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm. And do you go away with your partners outside of your marriage? If your boyfriend or your girlfriend wanted to take you out on a romantic weekend, would you be able to go away?
Yeah, no, we do that sometimes.
Well, the basic rule is no surprises. If it's planned beforehand and communicated about, then there's no problem because there's no dishonesty, there's no lying. Yes, kissing and hugging and sex is not cheating. Lying about it is cheating.
Mm-hmm. And have you ever been in a situation where, I know you don't approve of Christelle's boyfriend, or Christelle, you don't approve of Anno's partner at that moment? Let's start with you, Anno.
I would say that on one hand, I have been fairly lucky in that, I can trust Christelle to have good taste and to have a good intuition about people. And we've been lucky so far. There have been cases where, for instance, I would like to start a relationship with someone, but then, you know, after talking about it with my partner or partners, I realize that right now in my life, I do not have the attention bandwidth to take on another big, shiny new person. Mm-hmm. And then we put it off for 6 months and, you know, don't cut off contact. Life is long and stuff changes. That's a fact.
Hmm. And you, yeah. Christelle, Anna's girlfriends, you like them all? Do you meet them?
Well, I'd like to mirror what I said about Anya. You know, this is one of the reasons why we can successfully be polyamorous, because I genuinely do trust him to have, you know, good judgment. If I didn't, perhaps I wouldn't be with him. But as you mentioned, the example of the girlfriend where, you know, he met this person who was really a wonderful person, but at the time he was already dating someone else. And, you know, we were going through a period in our lives when we were very busy and, our time was very short. And so me and that, you know, the girlfriend at that time sat down with him and we said, you know, look, we don't mind this new girl, but, you know, where are you going to find time to see her? You know, and it's going to take stress on our relationship if you do. And so he kept tabs on her, with her, and, you know, kept, you know, sending her mail and whatever. And 6 months later, his girlfriend eventually went overseas and so the relationship naturally came to an end. And so he contacted the other girl and he said, well, you know what, I've got a little bit more time now. Maybe we can explore this thing.
Okay. All right. I'm chatting to Anno and Christelle Briet, and they are married and they've chosen an alternative lifestyle. They believe there's different ways of loving people. And it's a growing movement all over the world, actually. And there's a outspoken polyamorous Teresa Greenan from the US who says that the lifestyle is growing internationally. She has a boyfriend, a husband, and a new boyfriend whose wife is also involved with her husband. And evolutionary psychologist Dr. Christopher Ryan, the co-author of international bestseller Sex at Dawn, The Prehistoric Roots of Modern Sexuality, says it is difficult for a single partner to fulfill all the emotional, psychological, and physical needs of another, and it's a very heavy burden to place on another person. So his research reveals that polyamory was the norm in primitive hunter-gatherer societies. Yeah? So polyamory was the norm in primitive hunter-gatherer societies, but then society veered towards polygamy and monogamy. That's what his research says. 23 minutes to 11 o'clock, and I'm taking your calls for Anno and Christelle Briet on 021-446-0567, 011-883-0702. Lee, I think you want to ask the same question that our newsreader Yuveka wanted
please.
To ask.
Yes, I'm just curious. Mm-hmm. How many of these outside relationships between Anno and Christelle, how many has he got at one time, and how many has she got? I mean, is this like five of them, or three of them, or how many?
Okay.
That's sort of the right and the wrong kind of question,
mm-hmm.
because not every relationship is a full-on, intense, on-all-the-time relationship. This lifestyle is, for instance, very conducive to long-distance relationships. So I have a few friends in other towns that I maintain contact with and see maybe twice a year, if that. But that's no less genuine and authentic a relationship. The way it becomes is like having great and intimate friends. In the count sense, I have one sexual relationship outside of marriage right now,
mm-hmm.
And a few, you know, romantic engagements of an intermittent nature.
Okay, and Crystal, are you comfortable answering that?
Yeah, sure, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I have, we have my girlfriend lives with us, but also I have an intermittent sexual partner. It's really just sort of whenever he's available, because he works from the gas industry, so he's frequently out of town.
Okay.
And then the woman that Adam has a regular relationship with, we're also very close friends. We have had sexual relationship as well, but it's not as frequent.
Mm-hmm. And the question about the time, Christelle, a modern woman juggling all sorts of things, do you find time for the relationships and for your marriage?
Yeah, that is the challenge. I know there's a standing joke amongst polyamorous people that, you know, whenever the polyamorous people get together, the first thing that comes out is their calendar. It's a juggle. It is a bit of work. It definitely requires discipline. Being able to say to yourself, look, honestly, right now, I can't actually afford to have this relationship because I don't have time. You know, so being aware of how much time you do have before you become involved with someone, so that you don't end up juggling 10 or 11 girlfriends or boyfriends and then, you know, none of them get attention and everybody gets hurt.
Yeah, everybody gets hurt. Okay, and I know you are agreeing with that, hey?
Well, yeah, my short answer usually is how do we make it work is careful scheduling and lots of communication, which is something, frankly, that any marriage can do with, even if there aren't any other people involved. Mm. And being so much more aware of how little time we have makes each and every moment we spend with whomever so much more precious and meaningful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and a lot of our listeners want to know if you have children, guys.
Not at the moment. We are planning eventually to have children. We don't personally have children. My best friend actually has two children, and she's also polyamorous.
Okay, and would you tell them, I mean, when they're old enough, would you tell them about your lifestyle, or it's private, it's between you and those involved?
In much the same way as, you know, some religious people handle their religions, you know, the children are raised with an awareness of the lifestyle, and it's not, you know, it's not something that's hidden or secret. But at the same time, you know, we wouldn't necessarily compel our children to make the same choice, because a lot of polyamorous kids who are raised in a polyamorous household do end up to go on being monogamous themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's perfectly fine. You know, as you know, as you might have picked up from what our answers in the past few minutes, it's very much a personal decision. You have to, you know yourself how much, you know, responsibility you can handle in this regard. How much time do you have? And what are your life priorities? And if for you personally, you feel that one relationship is, you know, all that you can handle, you know, that's no less respected in the polyamorous community than having five relationships. Because it's such a personal thing.
And then it's an informed choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Ayanda in Sandton. Hi there, Ayanda.
Hi, Rudy.
Mm.
I'm not sure if this has been asked before or if it's an obvious question, but I don't understand why you would get married then, because, I mean, marriage in its very form is kind of like, you know, the monogamous relationship where you've obviously chosen this person above, you know, all other people. So to get married and then have a polyamorous lifestyle just seems a bit counterintuitive to me.
Mm-hmm. I think all the connotations attached to the word marriage are, you know, it doesn't all come with a package. The fact is, yes, Christelle and I got married long before we got into polyamory or even had those thoughts. But because we focused on and built a strong, trusting, grown-up relationship between us, we have a very solid foundation from which to create other authentic and deep connections.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's in our country, there are some mixed opinions in terms of multiple marriages. Just to say, our head of state begs mm-hmm. a lot of questions in that regard. But actually, at the moment, I'm engaged to be married again. And admittedly, this will never be a legal union in the eyes of the state because that is the law in our country. Mm-hmm. But for us, it's a very personal commitment ceremony. It's more a matter of saying, as much as I intend to spend the rest of my life with Arnie, I also intend to spend the rest of my life with my other partner as well.
Okay. All right. Yes, though, we can hear you. What we'll do is take a break. We have a few more questions and then we'll let you go, guys. And there's some more questions via SMS. There's an SMS here that says, Reedy, I think people who are in monogamous relationships are hypocrites. They get married and claim to be faithful and then they go on and cheat yet judge others. And Reedy, I'm very curious about this. Do they have a support group and how do you introduce people to polyamory? Okay. We're talking about polyamory this morning and we have a couple, Christel Briet and Anno Briet, and they're sharing their life story with us. And I've been rattling off some statistics and research that has been conducted. And apparently in Cape Town in particular, there's certainly a sizable non-monogamy contingent in Cape Town, and they're receiving increasing interest from people over time. So let's go to Stephanie in Fishhook. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to find out how they protect themselves from HIV and other sexually transmitted diseases, especially since the HIV window period can last for up to 6 months. Thank you.
No, I would imagine the same way everybody else protects themselves from HIV, condoms. I don't know. I know.
Well, the first thing we do is regular testing of all kinds all around. Add to that barrier methods and the usual ways of protecting oneself.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say we take every precaution possible.
All right. Let's go to... Well, yeah, sorry, Christel, you want to say something?
Yeah, I'd like to add something to that. We not only do we have yearly testing where possible, but there's also a particular relationship agreement in terms of it normally early on in a relationship when you just start dating someone, we definitely take far more precaution. And it's only once your relationship has become quite established that we, you know, will consider, you know, slackening down a bit on the security on that front. So it is a conscious thing. It's something that's negotiated up front during the, you know, early stages of the relationship. It's not just sort of, now I got drunk and there we go.
But surely the fact that you have multiple partners would make you more susceptible to some sort of infections if there is no protection being used?
Yes and no. Because of the fact that there's such regular testing and everything, it's actually the statistics amongst, at least in the international polyamory community, is that we are rather more conscious and more protected than even, the general population. If you think about, you know, even monogamous couples, you know, partners cheat. And because there's no open communication about it, there can't really be a reasonable communication about protection either. And so, you know, there's too far too many stories about, you know, poor wives who end up being infected by their husbands who are quietly doing something on the sly. Whereas in a polyamorous relationship, because there's really no reason to lie about these things and there's every opportunity to have these conversations, we can be more conscious and more careful and we can be more protective of each other's health and safety.
Ryan and Paul, hi.
Hi there, yeah. I'd just like to agree with what Anna said about what constitutes cheating is actually lying. I've recently found out my wife is having an affair, and it's the deception that led to the most intense pain on my part.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want to add to that, that's one of the things that comes through in therapy is that 40% of of marriages, you know, involve an affair mm-hmm. of some sort. So, you know, full marks to this couple.
So you prefer the honesty and the clarity and knowing where you stand than the doing it behind your back?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, that's Ryan and Paul, and good luck, you know, with mending your broken heart. It's not a nice thing to go through. Buhlane Centurion, our last caller.
Hi, I just want to find out from your guest, have they been in a situation where they meet someone outside of their of their marriage, and then that particular person says, okay, I'm all right with you being married, but then I would like to be the only outside person. So I'm the only partner, there is nobody else.
So they get attached, basically, because it's true for many people, especially women, sex and intimacy does lead to attachment. You develop feelings and so on. So have you ever had that situation where somebody says, okay, I'm okay that Christelle is in your life, but I want to be the only one outside of that?
I haven't run into anyone, you know, personally in our relationship, but if I had to think about how I would handle that, first of all, because we're very open about the structure of our relationship and the fact that there are multiple partners and everything, I think people who would want something like that from us would be put off getting involved with us in the first place anyway, straight off, mm-hmm. because that would just be a boundary that we would set. Like, that is not the structure of our particular polyamorous situation. There are some polyamorous couples who, you know, for instance, meet just one other person and decide to, you know, stop there. And, you know, they actually have a name for themselves. They call themselves polyfidelious, where the rule is basically we are the three and, you know, there will be nobody else. And that, you know, if that works for them, if that's what they want, that's fine. But we have a very clear boundary in our relationship that, you know, we are what we are, and if that doesn't, you know, fit in with a new partner's preferences, then it might be best for us not to have that kind of relationship with them and just remain friends.
Okay. Anno and Christelle, I've loved chatting to you. Thank you very much for really opening yourselves out there for those of us who are curious and wondering how you live your lives and answering such personal questions. Thanks for chatting to us.
Thank you.
That's Anno and Christelle Breert. And yeah, as expected, I did say if this is not your cup of tea, switch off and join us later. A lot of abuse on the SMS line. Okay, that's fine. Some people are not abusive. They're just expressing their opinion and you're allowed to. For example, Bev says, promiscuous people trying to make it sound decent. It makes me feel nauseous. And really, why don't they just opt for polygamy? And another SMS, I think this would be very damaging to the children. And one other SMS, really, would you do something like this? That always fascinates me. I speak to police officers, but I don't necessarily want to be a police officer. I speak to orphans, and I'm not one. I speak to people who do all sorts of interesting things with their lives, and it feeds my curiosity and my knowledge. As for would I do this? No, actually, it's not my cup of tea. I wouldn't support it. I wouldn't welcome any such suggestion from my husband, Brian. I wouldn't even make that kind of suggestion. But because I'm not living it that way, it doesn't mean that I cannot listen to somebody else who has that lifestyle. I don't believe that I have a right to impose my morality on other people. If there's no crime involved, you're not hurting everyone, everyone agrees and they're on the same page, who am I to judge them and say, you will not do that, but you will live according to Reedy's morality? That's not how I live my life. And this SMS, I love it, says, I will pick you up tonight, Reedy, for the start of our poly whatever relationship. Please advise Brian and apologize for the short notice. Remember, part of the deal is honesty. See you later, sweetie.